Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, the teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to the teacher. This is Ali, and today we're going to be talking about the clearest reason that human beings possess free will and they're not predestined. And this is going to be done in the context of general consciousness. One of the issues which is directly related to the issue of justice of the Creator is the question of predestination or free will. According to the fatalists, a human being has no choice whatever in his or her acts, behavior, or words, and the movements of his organs are just like the predestined movements of the parts of a machine. This is what fatalists believe in. Fatalists is a school of thought, fatalism, where they believe that a human being is 100% completely predestined. His fate is already written in all aspects of whatever he's going to do on this planet Earth. Even if philosophers and divine scholars give different reasons for free will of the human beings, here we will take a shortcut and give the clearest reason given by the supporters of free will, and this is the universal and collective conscience of human beings. That is, no matter what we deny, we cannot deny this reality that in all human societies, including both the worshippers of God and the materialists, East and West, ancient and modern, wealthy and poor, developed or undeveloped, or whatever culture they belong to, all without exception, agree that a law should rule human beings, and that human beings are responsible before the law, and people who disobey the law must be punished. Now, this is such a generic and universal formula that you would find all people of reason buying into it. Isn't that right? Now, in other words, the rule of law, the responsibility of individuals before it, and punishment of those who disobey the law are things which all intelligent people agree with. And it was only savage, primitive tribes who did not officially recognize these three things. So a human being a human being, he ultimately and very easily reaches this conclusion that human society needs to be moderated. Moderated with laws, moderated with rules and regulations. And anybody, whoever it is, anybody who goes against those regulations and violates those laws and rules, they should be punished. This is something very common and natural that you would find it consistent across the board. The fact that we explain this as a general conscience of human beings of the world is the clearest proof of existence of free will in human beings and the fact that they have free choice. If they were predestined, we didn't need any rules because this person just acted out of something that's written in his fate. He's going to do that no matter what. So why would we spend resources and energies in putting together these laws and enforcing them in the society, right? So this is the clearest proof that we can present, and it's very logical too, that a human society has to be moderated through law and, you know, there's a concept of punishment, even in this world we're talking about. So with this, we're going to go for a short break, and once we come back from the break, we're going to give you our concluding and conclusive thoughts on the topic. Stay with us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Brother Mahdi. The discussion, if everything is in the hands of Allah, so what is the need for human efforts? Now, dear listeners, because the Muslims of the world have unfortunately decided to cast aside the Ahlul Bayt and the 12 divinely appointed Imams for the past centuries all the way up to today, whether knowingly or unknowingly, it has caused mass confusion among the Muslims on a whole host of subjects. One such subject which, from the start of the deviation of the Muslims from the true path of the Messenger, which is the path that was followed by the 12 divinely appointed Imams, is the subject of free will and fate. Now, some sects of the Muslim world in the past and even today believe that there is no such thing as free will and that there is only fate and destiny, meaning that everything is totally and only in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we as people have no say or option or choice in the matter. But at this juncture, an integral question comes to one's mind. If all control is in the power of Allah and we have no choice in the matter, then why should we work so hard? Why should we worship so sincerely? Why should we try to be better? And what is the need for human efforts? Well, the answer to these questions is actually a response to those that say that all control is in the hands of Allah and that we have no control whatsoever. Well, if we have no control and everything is fate and destiny, then there really is no point in doing anything, right? And this is why this concept of ultimate fate and no free will on our part is a wrong ideology. And just to remind all of us, this ideology does not stem from the Holy Prophet, it does not stem from the 12 divinely appointed Imams, and it does not stem from the Holy Quran. To substantiate this point, I continue with some examples so that we know that Islam, as the sixth holy Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace and blessings upon him, has eloquently said, Islam is the path between complete free will and total fatalism. So let us start with the Holy Quran. Allah the Most Wise has said in chapter 53, An-Najm, verse number 39, that, and that man shall have nothing but what he strives for. Subhanallah. So we see that Allah is telling us that we must strive if we want to earn anything. If we want to earn a livelihood in this world, we must work hard and strive hard. And if we want to earn a livelihood for the next world, we need to worship sincerely and love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strive hard in the most holy path, that is the path of Islam. Now, if we had no free will, and if we were completely at the mercy of fate and destiny, then the Holy Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have not asked us to strive for what we want. Now, finally, I'd like to give one more example, and that is an example from one of the 12 divinely appointed Imams, who are the true and most pure and most perfect followers of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon them all. Let's relate a story from the sixth holy Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq was one day busy working in his garden, wearing working clothes with a spade in his hand, when one of his friends, Abu Umru Shaybani, arrived. Seeing the Imam drenched in his own perspiration because of the heat and labor he was doing, Abu Umru thought there was need of a laborer, so the Imam had opted to work for himself. He stepped forward and said, O Imam, let me help you finish this work of yours. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq said, No, I like working on the farm with my own hands. It is necessary for man to face the heat of the sun and feel the exhaustion of earning one's own living. Subhanallah, dear listeners, this glorious and most perfect student of the Holy Prophet, this most complete human being, Despite being the teacher of at least 4,000 students, including the founder of the Hanafi sect, Abu Hanifa, can be seen working the land in the heat of the sun with the sweet sweat of labor, earning his own living. So, dear listeners, the path of Islam does not say that there is no need for our efforts. Rather, the true Islam says we should work hard and strive in earning the livelihood of this world and the next. Islam says to us that we need to exert our own human efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in our struggle to work hard and accomplish great things in this world and the next. Thanks for listening. We leave you in Allah's care.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of it?
Welcome back, dear listeners. Before the break, we were talking about the universal and collective conscience of human beings. So based on that, we understand that any rational human being, any logical human being would agree to the notion that we need rules and principles and regulations to run a society, a human society. Now, if somebody violates those rules, they have to be punished. Isn't that right? Now, how can it be accepted that a human being be obliged in his or her actions and that he or she has no freedom of choice, but he or she is responsible before the law? You know, if we were to criticize and completely shatter the argument of fatalists, this is what it is, right? In the presence of law, how can you justify punishing someone if he's already predestined? This just doesn't make any sense. So do you really propose, being a fatalist, that a human society should be run without any laws? That translates to anybody doing anything they want to because they're already predestined? Is that really your notion? Right? See how illogical it is? And then when a law is broken, that person must be tried and asked why he or she did this, or that, why he or she did not do something, like, for instance, stopping on a traffic light. You know, you can say, I ran over the red light because I'm predestined. How logical is this argument? And if proven guilty, that person is sent to prison, or even, depending on the time, executed. Or even, depending on the crime, executed. This is exactly as if we were to punish stones which slide down a mountain, causing a landslide on a mountain road, which results in the death of one or more of human beings. How are you going to punish like a stone? Right? I mean, it doesn't make sense. That stone didn't have the free will to slide down the mountain. But a human being does have that free will. And this is why we punish human beings. We do not punish stones. It is true that a human being differs from a stone, but if we deny free will and choice in a human being, this external difference between them will not be relevant and both will be the victim of fate. A stone, following the law of gravity, falls upon roadside, and a human being who murders another is the victim of another factor of fate. Thus, the logic of those who believe in predetermination allows for no distinction to be made between a stone and a human being from the point of view of results, and neither acted according to their own free will. Why should one be tried and not the other? We are at the crossroads. We either have to deny the existence of common conscience of all the people, of all the humanity of the world, and consider the court's punishment of those who disobey the law to be ridiculous and useless and even oppressive, or deny the beliefs of fatalists. Obviously, the latter is preferable, which is logical, it is rational. Well, if it is really true that a person has no choice or free will, what is all of this commotion in court and trial about? At any rate, this common conscience of the intelligent people of the world is a living idea for the reality that human beings have accepted the existence of free will in the depths of their being and has always been loyal to that and cannot live without the belief for even one day and have the wheels of social and individual programs progress. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye.